Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome back to Tech Talking Religion. Hi, guys. We have a little controversial subject matter here today because it might ignite some people in the, you know, the professional music industry, but we got to get it out. And what we're attempting to do here today is take a look at what God's Word says in comparison to what a public figure and the rapper T.I. Had to say on the V103 morning show hosted by Frank Ski here recently in Atlanta, what he had to say about God's Word. And his topic was essentially, is God's Word everlasting? We only have 15 minutes. I'm going to go through it quickly, let you listen to a segment, and then we'll talk about it. But how I'm going to try to explain perhaps maybe what he meant, certainly what God's Word really says about it being everlasting, and is God, Jesus, really the Lord, we'll use Scripture to kind of settle that matter. So I'm going to let you listen to a second of the clip, and we'll move right along. Again, we only have 15 minutes today.
They say God's Word is everlasting. Is God's Word not everlasting?
Yeah.
Is God's Word not everlasting? Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you go in and change the words in the Bible if this is God's Word? How is the Bible that is, we read today not the same Bible that was written when it was written back in biblical times?
Right.
If God's Word is everlasting, now you said God's Word was everlasting. And also, you know, it says there's no way through the Father but through me. No way to the Father but through me. But he also said God is a jealous God. So which one is it? Are we going to represent Jesus and God? Or is God a jealous God and we're only supposed to represent God? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
because it's the Trinity, because they're really both one and the same.
Well, see, that ain't what it said. It didn't say one and the same. It said the only way to the Father is through me.
Yeah.
So that's the separation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a lot of contradictions. But, you know, I feel like you're supposed to pray for affirmation. You're supposed to pray for understanding before you even open up a Bible. You know, which is what I do. That's why whenever I open it, it always affects me and what I'm going through right then at the time. But I do know it is used as a remote control to control emotions and to control and direct people's thoughts, opinions, and actions.
There you have it. I don't know how well you guys could hear this. I was just using a little JBL speaker. But essentially, it seemed that, you know, T.I. was just all over the place with this. And it certainly, from my personal opinion, certainly wasn't based on any biblical understanding of or interpretation of what God's Word really says. So I want to go over this today for those that are really concerned about this, because this evoked a big controversy on Facebook and social media. And one of them was I posted on the faceplate of the show is just saying, you know, that they feel as though that this platform is basically discouraging rather than encouraging people that seek to really know God's Word or seek to live a godly life, because it's not, in their opinion, actually what God's Word really says. So since the issue seems to be, is God's Word everlasting, and as you heard T.I. say, there's a separation between Jesus and God, and who should you choose? That's certainly, from my personal opinion, incorrect theology. But let's take a look and see what God's Word really does say about that. And, you know, you can guys can go back and listen to the T.I. segment again. But here's what Scripture says. And I just did a little research and, you know, and put this together. And on Numbers 23:19, I use the Amplified Bible on that. And remember, God's Word, and we'll talk about that, and Him are one. He used people, but they spoke the very words of God through their own personalities, actually, and through their own perceptions of the things that they lived out in their life. But the centrality, the central focus is Jesus Christ, even from the Old Testament to the New. That's kind of deep theology. We won't go into all that. But Numbers 23:19 clearly says, God says through the prophet that God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a man that he should repent from anything. And anything that he's spoken, it says, and he will not make it good and fulfill it, being a question. So God is saying clearly to the people then, and it reverberates all the way up until today, it's everlasting. He is not a man, he's saying. He needs not repent from anything, and anything he says he'll make it good. So, and this is the case where we're just trying to apologetically, as they called it in theology school, we're just trying to defend the gospel against what we've heard to try to give some insight into what the Bible really says about things like this. In this case, God, his word being true and everlasting, and Jesus being the Lord. In 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, it says, verse 16 says, all scripture is God breathed. And what is it useful for? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is God breathed. This is God making this a testament to himself. He's speaking through men, but he's talking to us his very word, his word. He's not allowing it to be distorted, as we'll see in further scripture. Again, in 2 Timothy 2:15, Timothy, God says through Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And that's what I would encourage anyone to do, to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who need not be ashamed. The Bible tells us in Psalms 119, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And Moses, the prophet Moses, spoke on behalf of the Lord and giving him the command in Deuteronomy 4:2, you should not add to the word which I have commanded you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now, his commandments are coming through the Bible at this point for the new era Christians. So this, even though this was spoken to the people of Israel way back in the day, this is effective for us right now. The Lord is telling us specifically, this is a principle, this is a truth, not to add to the word which I'm commanding you, nor take away from it. We are not to take and distort God's word, but seek to interpret it as best we possibly can. Matthew Henry gave what I thought to be an interesting, out of all the ones that I've seen, take on 2 Timothy 2:15. And he goes on to say, those disposed to strive, commonly strive about matters of small moment, like I think just happened, but strife of words destroy the things of God. The apostle mentions some who have erred in this 2 Timothy. Timothy goes on to talk about some that he implies some who have erred in their interpretations of the things of God and spoken them to others. Matthew goes on to say they did not deny the resurrection, and T.I. didn't deny God, only his Savior, Jesus Christ. But Matthew Henry goes on to say, but they corrupted that true doctrine, that true teaching. And he goes on to say, yet nothing can be so foolish or erroneous, but it will overturn the temporary faith of some professors of faith. So when we speak matters like that, people that hold T.I. and others in high esteem, even a preacher, and they can speak anything that may be in error, and people will believe it because we're to study to show ourselves approved, and most of us just don't do that. So we can't just – my point specifically to anyone that's listening is we just can't listen to any old thing and how to preach, preacher. But we need to study God's word in accordance to what we've heard. And then it'll make sense with God's, you know, we're asking for God's grace to open up our minds. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit opens up our mind. And as we live out our day-to-day transactions, the realities of God become more and more true in your life. That's how you experience God. Yes, his word is everlasting in all of these things that we're mentioning. Is Jesus God? Some who deny that Jesus is God may be clean that Jesus never said that he's God. And that's true. He never specifically said, I am God. But that's a play on events. That's a play on words. That's a play on interpretations. Because it is correct that he never records Jesus saying the precise words, I am God. This does not mean, however, that Jesus never claimed to be God. For instance, in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Now, what is that supposed to mean? That we're cousins? That he's my grandfather? That we're two people, separate people, but you know what? Vicariously, we're one. What does he mean? I mean, we're putting that in earthly terms. What he's saying is that I and the Father, his Father, who we call God, are one. The Jews understood exactly what Jesus was claiming. That's why they were so angry. In John 1:1, which is the gospel that tells about Jesus Christ and who he is, in the scope of the salvation to mankind, it starts out in the very first verse of chapter 1, the Word, being Jesus, was capitalized, became flesh. He came to earth, as the Christian faith believes. In the beginning was the Word. In what beginning? Forever beginning. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John 20, in the same book, Thomas, the disciple, declared concerning Jesus, my Lord and my God. He made the statement to the Lord, and Jesus didn't correct him. The most important thing of this whole thing, and we're running out of time here, is that Jesus must be God. Because if he's not, his death, according to the wages of sin, or death for mankind, that's the rule, the command that God gave man, the wages of sin or death. When he said it's on this planet, there was no sin, and they had no sin. But he gave them a will to choose to do what they would want to do, the desires of their heart. Sin came to them, they partook of it. So, bing, God's word has to kick in. The wages of sin are death. He told Adam, if you sin against me, you're going to die. He didn't drop dead, but we weren't born to die. A created being, anything short of sovereignty, because the wages of sin are death, the only thing that can keep that from happening is somebody live a life that is perfect and sin free. A perfect sacrifice unto the Lord. There was no man to do that. So God took a portion of himself that serves a different function, because it's the salvation of the world, and let's set it here on earth to accomplish that. Then the forces of evil were allowed to kill that. And then he was allowed to rise, which he needed to do to overcome death. And in that particular case, he became our salvation, because he did that. All we have to do is believe that in our minds, in our hearts, and confess that with our mouths. And if the true belief will indicate how we transition and live our lives after that proclamation. 1 Timothy 2:5, we only have a few seconds left. God's telling us through Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. We cannot go straight to the Lord, the man Jesus Christ. I pray that each and every one that has heard that or would hear this would investigate what I'm saying. Don't just listen to your heart to telling you that's not true. If that's not true, then prove it not to be true. And if you can prove it not to be true, then come back to me. Come back to anybody that believes that Jesus is a salvation. That Jesus is God, but he's separate from God. That the Holy Spirit does exist, and he exists within people that have proclaimed in whose heart really believes that Jesus is Lord, and he came to this earth to save their heart, to save their lives, their eternal life. For those that really believe that, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and sits with you. And it comes and sits with you, and it helps you in this day-to-day grind, which we call Christianity. I pray that God will bless you and give you ears to hear. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. I do.